Chapter 8. Where is Mr. Hyde? Before they left the police station, the inspector showed Mr. Utterson the murder weapon, the battered cane half, taken from the gutter near the body. Now the lawyer had no doubts that the Hyde he knew was the one involved in this murder, for he recognized the cane as one he himself had given Henry Jekyll many years before. The inspector hailed a cab, and the lawyer gave the driver directions to a street in Soho, that tumbled-down section of London which was home to thieves and murderers. It was now morning, but the first fog of the season had rolled in. The cab could only crawl through the infrequent patches of light. Utterson shuddered as he caught glimpses of the evil population of Soho through the swirling mists. The cab let them off in front of a rooming house on a dirty street, where ragged children huddled in doorways, and adults of many nationalities walked with a drunken sway. On one side was a gin shop, and on the other, a cheap restaurant whose odors should have warned off customers. Utterson and the inspector climbed the crumbling steps to Hyde's rooming house. Utterson felt slightly dazed. So this is the home of Henry Jekyll's best friend, the home of an heir to a quarter of a million pounds, thought Utterson. The landlady, furious at being disturbed, screamed a curse as she opened the door. When she saw two men of quality, she manufactured a false smile of welcome. The inspector took charge, demanding to know Hyde's whereabouts, but the landlady said he was out.
"He came in very late last night, sir, and left again soon after," she explained. "But this wasn't odd, sir, for his habits were always irregular."
She gave this information freely, but balked when the inspector asked to be let into Hyde's rooms. Now Utterson spoke for the first time. "See here, woman, I better tell you who this person is you are refusing. He is Inspector Newcomen of Scotland Yard." The woman gave a screech of joy.
"Ah, Hyde is in trouble. What's he done?"
Not replying, the two men exchanged a glance. "Hyde is as popular here as he is everywhere else," observed Newcomen. Knowing now who her visitors were, the woman showed them at once to Hyde's rooms. Here a surprise awaited, for the rooms were furnished with luxury and good taste. There were damask napkins, silverware, and a closet filled with wine. Deep piled rugs and several paintings would have even fitted well in Mr. Utterson's own house. He wondered if the paintings were a gift from Jekyll, who was an art collector. But the rooms had been ransacked. Drawers stood open, clothes lay on the floor, and a pile of ashes on the hearth testified to the burning of many papers. The inspector began his search. From the fireplace, he fished out the stub end of a green checkbook, which was only charred. Behind a door, he found the top half of the cane, the murder weapon. This was the proof that Hyde was the wanted man. The inspector and Utterson proceeded to the bank named on the charred checkbook. There, they found several thousand pounds in Hyde's account. The inspector's good humor and confidence increased at this news. "Now, sir," he told Utterson, "we have him almost in our hands. He left in a panic, or he wouldn't have burned his checkbook and forgotten the cane. He'll need the money he has on deposit. We'll circulate pictures of him, and the bank will alert us when he arrives." This confidence was soon found to be misplaced. There were no photographs of Hyde, and his family could not be traced. When an artist tried to compose a likeness of Hyde from the descriptions of his landlady and Sarah and a few others, the attempt was a failure. As often happens, their descriptions differed too widely. The one point they all agreed on was of no help to the artist. That point was Hyde's haunting impression of deformity, without actually showing one. Scotland Yard now redoubled its efforts in the search for Mr. Edward Hyde, the murderer of Sir Danvers Carew.